Welcome to Tardi Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Mira Ozarowski, and today we will be studying Sefer Tehillim, Perek Ayin Vav, 76. In yesterday's Perek of Tehillim, we talked about the fact that even though at times we don't see it right away, Hashem always punishes evil at the most precise time with the most exact amount. When preparing to teach yesterday's Perek, I spent a lot of time trying to find the perfect story to illustrate this point. I found some nice stories, but none were exactly what I was looking for. Little did I realize that if I would have just flipped the page to the next parak of Tehillim, to our current Mizmor, Ayin Vav, I would have found my story. Asaf doesn't just leave his ideas in Parak Ayin Hay in 75 in the theoretical, but he brings an actual perfect example of this in our parak, Parak Ayin Vav, 76. Here, according to many commentaries, including Rashi and the Malbim, Asaf tells the amazing story of the downfall of Sancheirev. This story is recorded in Melachim Bet, Ishayahu, and Divrei Hayamim. Sancheirev was the powerful king of Ashur, ruling over a vast empire that had already conquered many, many nations. He had already destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes, and exiled them. He conquered many fortified cities in Yehuda, and he seemed unstoppable. He was ruthless and arrogant, believing that no one, not even Hashem, could stand in his way. With an enormous army of 185,000 soldiers, Sancheirev set his sights on Yerushalayim, the capital of Yehuda. He had already conquered many fortified cities and now stood at the gates of Yerushalayim, mocking Hashem and threatening to destroy the city. His general, Rav Shakeh, shouted to the Jews on the walls, "Do not trust your God. No other God has saved its people from the might of Ashur. Surrender now, for your fate is sealed." The people were terrified. But King Chizkiyahu refused to give in. Instead, he turned to Hashem, praying for salvation. That night, Sancheirev wrote a blasphemous letter mocking Hashem, declaring that he was no different than the false gods of the nations he had defeated. King Chizkiyahu took the letter to the Beit HaMikdash, spread it before Hashem, and cried out, "Hatei Hashem aznecha u'shma pekach Hashem einecha. Hashem, open your ears and open your eyes. Listen and hear the terrible words of Sancheirev, who is out to mock you." The Navi Yishayahu sent a message to Chizkiyahu telling him, "Do not fear. Hashem has heard your prayer. Melech Ashur lo yavo el ha'ir hazot ve'lo yoreh sham chetz. Sancheirev will not even enter the city. He will not even shoot a single arrow here. Hashem himself will defeat him. But derech asher yavoba yashuv. The same way that Sancheirev came, he'll go back. Ve'la'ir hazot lo yavo. He will not enter into Yerushalayim." That very night, as the Assyrian soldiers slept, a malach of Hashem descended and killed 185,000 soldiers in their sleep. When Sancheirev awoke in the morning, he found his entire army wiped out without a single sword being lifted against them. Terrified and humiliated, Sancheirev fled back to Ashur. There, his own sons betrayed him and assassinated him while he was worshiping his idol in the temple of his god. This story that Asaf tells us here is the perfect example to remind us that Hashem allows the wicked to rise only until their time is complete. He waits until their sins reach their full measure and only then brings punishment in the exact amount and at the exact time. How do we see this in the story? Number one, Sancheirev's arrogance reached its peak. Hashem waited until Sancheirev's arrogance peaked after years of conquest. He stood outside the holiest city of Yerushalayim, openly mocking Hashem and claiming no God could stop him. Only then, when his sins were complete, did Hashem strike, making it clear that Sancheirev's downfall was divine justice and not coincidence. In addition, Hashem waited until right before Sancheirev planned to destroy Yerushalayim in order to make it clear that the miracle was deliberate and not just a coincidence. If Hashem had punished him earlier, people might have doubted the miracle. By waiting until the last possible moment, Hashem showed his absolute control, and this strengthened the emunah of the Jewish people. So we see that while we don't understand all the ways of Hashem, two very clear reasons why Hashem waited until this moment to punish Sancheirav. Number one, he waited until Sancheirav's arrogance reached its ultimate peak, where he was openly mocking Hashem, where he completely deserved all the punishment that he received. And number two, he waited until the point where it would be so clear to the world that this miracle was deliberate and it would strengthen the emunah of the Jewish people. Besides for the timing of it, Sancheirav's punishment was precisely measured. How so? Sancheirav claimed that Hashem was powerless. So Hashem showed Sancheirav that he could destroy an entire army without a single battle. Sancheirav tried to erase the Jewish people, but instead, his own empire collapsed. Sancheirav boasted of his power, yet Hashem didn't give him the opportunity even to die as a fallen warrior. Instead, he ran away in disgrace, leaving behind his dead army. Hashem let Sancheirav live long enough to witness his own downfall, and then he ran home humiliated and was powerless to stop his own sons from killing him. We learn from this story that Hashem's justice is not random. It is perfectly calculated. Hashem's justice always comes at the exact right time and in the exact right measure. This chapter serves as a contrast to Tehillim 74, where the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash left the nation questioning Hashem's involvement. Here we see that Hashem can and does intervene with overwhelming force when the time is right. With that background, let's look briefly at the psukim inside. In verses 2 to 3, we hear that Hashem's presence is felt very strongly in Tzion, in Yerushalayim. Verse 2, Noda b'Yehuda Elokim, Hashem is known in Yehuda, b'Yisrael gadol shmo, his name is great in Yisrael. This foreigner writes that Hashem is known amongst the Yehudim, the Jews, throughout the world, but his miracles are even more manifest in Yisrael, in Israel. V'yihi b'shalim suko u'me'onoto b'tzion. His sukkah was in Shalim, and his dwelling was in Tzion. The Ibn Ezra notes, Shalim refers to Yerushalayim because Yerushalayim is a city of divine peace, shalom. Hashem's divine protection, his sukkah, is felt most in Yerushalayim because his presence and his dwelling place is there. Rashi explains that since the Mizmor starts out by telling us that the setting of the story is in this city Yerushalayim, we know the story has to refer to Sancheirav. V'chol ha-Mizmor hazeh medaber b'mapalat Sancheirav, shelo matzinu oyev nofel b'Yerushalayim elahu. This is the only time where we find the story of an enemy falling in Yerushalayim. In verses 4 to 8, Dala Techet, we talk about the war against Sancheirav. Shama shiber rishvei keshet, there he broke the fiery arrows, magin v'cherev u'milchama sela, the shield, the sword, and the battle. The Mabim explains, Sancheirav shehalach bekeshet v'cherev u'milchama, Sancheirav came with all the weapons in the world, l'chvosh et kol ha'olam, in order to conquer the entire world. Kishegia letzion, but when he arrived at Yerushalayim, shavar Hashem klei melchamato, Hashem was able to break all of his weapons. Hashem does not need an army to defeat the enemy of Sancheirav. Hashem's intervention was absolute, demonstrating that even the mightiest military forces are powerless before him. Na'orata, pasuk hey, you are resplendent, adir meharei teref, mightier than mountains full of prey. This verse symbolizes Hashem's supremacy over even the strongest and most ferocious nations. The arrogant empire of Ashur saw themselves as invincible. Hashem's might easily surpasses their power. Eshtolel abirei lev, the strong-hearted went crazy. This is verse 6, Vav. Namushnatam, and they sank into their sleep. V'lo matzu kol anshei chayil yadehim, and all the mighty men could not lift their hands. This describes how Hashem struck down the enemy without a battle. They were all killed in their sleep. Namushnatam, they sank into their sleep, and weapons were useless when faced with Hashem's judgment. Verse 7, Pasuk Zayin, Migaratcha Elokei Yaakov, at your rebuke, God of Yaakov, Nirdam v'recha v'sus, both chariot and horse lay asleep. Hashem's power extends over to the forces of war themselves. Not only were the soldiers defeated, but even their war horses and their chariots were rendered useless. After bringing the example in verses 8 to 13, Chet Yud Gimel, Asaf talks about how Hashem brings justice. Ata Nora, Ata, you are fearsome. Umi amod v'necha me'azapecha, who can stand before you when you are angry? Verse 8. Hashem alone determines history. Human power is meaningless when Hashem chooses to act. Pasuk Tet, verse 9. Ki mishamayim hishmat adin, From the heavens you pronounced judgment, Eretz Yarav Shketa, the earth feared and was still. The moment Hashem acts, all of creation is silent. The whole world recognizes Hashem's dominion when he destroyed Sennacherib's army, leaving no doubt about his control over history. Ki yakum mishpat Elokim, for Hashem will rise to judgment, lohoshia ko anvei aretz sela, to save all the humble of the earth. This provides a powerful message of hope. Hashem's judgment is not just about punishing the wicked, but also about saving the righteous, lohoshia ko anvei aretz. The Metzudat David interprets this as a promise that Hashem will always come to the aid of the humble and the downtrodden. Be'et kum Elokim lasot mishpat, when Hashem gets up to do judgment, Sibahu, the real reason is Loshia kol anvei aretz le'olam, to always save the ones who are being afflicted. Finally, we conclude with Pasuk Yud Gimel 13. Yivtzor ruach negidim, he will cut down the spirit of princes. Nora l'malchei aretz, he will be feared by the kings of the earth. This pasuk comes to tell us that it's not just a one-time event with Sennacherib. This is how Hashem operates throughout history. It's important to note that not all Mefarshim interpret this mizmor as referring specifically to Sennacherib. Other interpretations connect it to Mitzrayim, to Gog Umagog, and more. And this diversity is intentional and beautiful. While Sennacherib is a powerful example of Hashem's justice, it is by no means the only one. Tehillim is written in a way that allows its messages to apply across all times and circumstances. Hashem always destroys evil rulers and wicked people at the exact right time and in the exact right measure, even if we, living in the present, cannot always perceive it, lacking the clarity of hindsight or foresight. In conclusion, Tehillim 76 Ayin Vav serves as a powerful reassurance that Hashem is always in control, even in the face of great threats. Unlike Tehillim 74, which questioned Hashem's silence during destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, this parak affirms that he can and does act decisively. As history has shown, no empire can stand against the will of Hashem, and ultimate redemption is certain. May we soon merit to see Hashem's full justice revealed in our days. Thank you for studying Le'iloi Nishmot Helen Moskovitz and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II Sheirit HaPleita. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day, sponsored by their grandchildren, Yitzchak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.